Smash Factor.
Ripping driver, going for it. Oh my goodness.
How about that tee shot?
That is crazy how far that is.
Wow. John Daly, take a back seat, big fella. How about that drive?
That's an aggressive line.
Look at this, he's just driven the green. He has just driven the green.
I guess, hello world, huh?
Welcome everybody to Tokyo Olympics Men Golf Week on the Smash Factor. Something I was not sure if we were going to say for sure or not, but we are here. Got word, I think, Wednesday or Thursday last week that there would be contests, which I kind of thought after seeing... There's all kinds of niche contests out there. You know, Showdown Soccer, Showdown Basketball have been popular. I know our boy Bobby Berger's been cleaning up on both, as well as along with the other premium subs that get into the it's a great thing about the GC Warrior Room over on Slack is those kind of niche one-off things. Everybody kind of gets in there, talks, looks for it's hard to find information at times, so digging and finding on some of this, where's the starting lineups, who's starting, who can score, all that kind of stuff. And then, frankly, some of it's had overlay. So just being willing to – some of these soccer matches have been starting like 4 or 5 in the morning, and if you get up early enough to see the overlay, you know, there may be quite a bit of overlay in there that allows you to at least play it rake-free, and if you have somewhat of knowledge what's going on. Or, you know, in there's a lot of people that are smart that I – at least listen to and then look at what they got going on and their resources or whatnot. But a lot of fun so far with the Olympics. All that being said, we did know there was going to be golf. What I did not think would happen is some very, very, very well prize contests out there. I mean, just amazing, really. I was a little bit shocked when they came out. Kind of 50-50 on it. This was technically would be my vacation week, if there's such a thing when you're running your own business. Was planning on being very light and really focusing on we're about to, you know, release internally, so with the team, our football dashboard, bare bones kind of foundation version of it, and then we're going to be adding to it and improving it and, you know, taking our team's input over the next couple weeks and then releasing it out to all of you guys probably in the next, I would say, 3 weeks or so, 4 weeks max. And that's just going to be the first version, just like the Green Machine you guys have seen have come to a life, where last week we didn't have anything soccer, and then with all the, you know, popularity and Olympic Soccer Showdown, boom, we get it loaded into the Green Machine. Now if you want to go put 20 lineups in a mini max, you can do it in 5 minutes if you want to. Pick your players, have it randomize it for you, or you can, you know, do your own exposure and all that kind of stuff. The Green Machine is going to be an amazing tool by the time we get to week one of NFL. And then by the time we get to the end of the season and we go through even more upgrades, get the feedback, it's going to be awesome for all sports. So I can't wait for it, especially college football, which is a kind of a niche sport. I'm interested to see how popular it is this year. Last year was kind of different, being COVID year, and some conferences weren't playing and they were, and it was very wishy-washy. College football is very hard in the COVID era because there's not as many reporters and beat, you know, that we get information from if they're not there on the sidelines. So I think we're going to be, you know, sitting really well going into football season. I can't wait for it. This is recording early Monday morning. I put out my rankings for the Olympics last night, did more research. All this stuff won't have the 3M Open final stats in it yet or any of that. We know who won, obviously, champ, but this was all I've been researching it most of the day Sunday and then into this morning, get this podcast out, give you something. Don't know what all the industry is going to be doing. I'm going to do this. I may do one more pod. It locks, I think, 4 or 5 o'clock Wednesday afternoon. So I'm interested to kind of see, do we have some overlay? There's not much going on, so maybe there's enough there that people get into it. That's something to watch for. There's only, you know, it's kind of like a WGC no cut event style this week. So strategy comes into it as much as actually the players being involved, in my opinion. So I think it'll be fun. I'm going to put out some premium member content, probably add on tonight and then tomorrow. What I may do, see what Kenny's schedule is. He may not be doing it. I don't know if Kenny and Tambo are doing a pod this week or not. I assume most didn't plan on it. And maybe they just go ahead and do one because there's some, you know, we are having good contests out there or whatnot. But either way, I may try to do a live show so we can talk some strategy, a live E9 with the premium members. If there's enough interest, I'll throw it out there to the premium members, see what their interest is on having a little Q&A. Maybe late Tuesday may be the best, or maybe Wednesday morning. I don't know what people's work schedules would be better to get that in there. I think that midday lock is going to be a little bit different than what we've seen before. DFS for me was so-so last week. I had plenty of chances on Sunday, had a good player pool. I had champ in it, but just I didn't bet him, which really sucked. I went back last night trying to see where I didn't get on him. Had Schwartzel. He missed out. Obviously took tied for second. A lot of the lower owned guys that were up there, I had plenty of them around there. So I was happy with the process. Small losing week. I'll take it and move on. Looking forward to this week. I like different quote-unquote strategy type weeks. We traditionally do well with them, so I'm looking forward to it. Didn't do a lot of betting last week. I had some family stuff going on Friday night. I did a few matchups. I hadn't recapped all that. I will do that and let you know how we did. Obviously didn't hit it outright or anything last week. Smash 20 gets you 20% off any package right now. It includes a 7-day free trial. Now's a great time. I think if you're wanting to take advantage of some Olympic stuff, just getting into the GC Warrior Room is pays for it in itself. Mix that with a Green Machine alone. Our price is those two things pays for itself. Everything else is just a bonus, in my opinion. I think where the Green Machine's going, our optimizer, and because we've hand-built it internally and as well of all of our tools, we'll be able to increase it and make it better with feedback as time goes on. And then the GC Warrior Room is just, you know, worth this price of admission in itself. So good time to get in there. I think we'll have this golf covered as well as anybody. So be fun going into Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, getting around, building some lineups before lock, see how overlay is looking. Really talk about strategy this week. That's what I want to do. And I'm going to hold a lot of that for the premium members because they do pay us. And I think I want to hold that for them. But we'll talk some of it here as well. Rate and review us on iTunes. We'll be doing a big giveaway again for the NFL kickoff week. So getting in that drawing is easy. That is the one way to guarantee yourself, a look at getting some of the big draw. I do a specific drawing just out of all our rate and review people. Goes a long way, and I appreciate it. Trying to grow the subscriber and YouTube, trying to get to 2,000 subscribers on YouTube. Help us out there. Even if you only listen to audio, click over real quick, hit subscribe, like the video. In the comment section, tell me who your favorite play and fade is from the 10K range. Interesting the way the pricing is. There's only 58 guys in DraftKings right now. So obviously a very tight feel, WGC type feel. So interesting to see where people's mindsets go there. Listener League is up. DK honored us. We're doing a small one this week because I didn't know what kind of interest, where everybody was, if people were kind of checked out because they didn't think much about DraftKings this week. They don't really feel like diving into, Gun Charakula from Thailand and people like that to figure out if you want to play him or not. This is going to be a bad name show for me. I did look up some pronunciations so I could try to do better this week with all these very, very not very well-known golfers. So, but it is 200 spots this week, 3 max. Link will be in the audio pod. Go ahead and hop in now if you want to. Last week's winner, ER0DHSC, also known as Ian in Slack. Or maybe it's Ian, one of those two. Very good week. Solid week. Had a lot of stuff I was on. Davis, Fowler, Schwartzel, Kazire, Mito, all 5 of those. I did not play Get to Vegas, though, and that was a mistake. He had them, got the W. I played Hank, I hope everything is good with him first. Very weird withdrawal. We don't normally see due to personal reasons from the official PGA. So we hope everything's good with him. I'm not even getting into the whole, that man's got a life and a family. If he withdraws from a tournament when he's made the cut, the least of his worries are bettors and fantasy players. So I didn't lose any sleep over it's just part of the game, right? It comes with the territory, especially golf. You know, it's a 4-day deal. A lot can happen. It's not like, all right, once the basketball game starts or the football game starts, I'm good, unless an injury happens, which is more common than golf. But, you know, you start, you go 80% McCaffrey and he turns an ankle on the second play. What tough shit, right? I mean, there's nothing we can do about it. Same thing here. It is what it is. But man, oh man, I've done some studies and I got some research and I've continued compiling it now. The 8K and above, and even some 7K and above chalk for about the last 5 months ish has just been crazy at the hit rate compared to, say, the prior 2 years. I don't know if that's coincidence. I don't know if that's the industry is getting sharper and sharper, more coverage, more content and all that, and the same people get on the same guys and they just go ahead and play them and say, I'll just try to be different elsewhere. Don't really know all of it. But if you're a contrarian player, which I tend to be more likely than not, you probably struggled over the last few months. I've tried to adapt to it though and go, all right, sometimes if it's a chalky play, quote unquote, we just got to play it. I mean, we play running backs all the time. I've seen basketball players that are 60% because they're mispriced. And you just play it, and now you're playing a 5 versus 5 or 6 versus 6 or how many of our spots are in the roster. And I think golf, with as crazy as it is, most want to say with the volatility of it, you know, will win in the long run of fading that chalk. But, boy, if you're in that field right now, it's a struggle bus because a lot of the high-end guys are playing. And this week, it wasn't terrible. I think 6 of 6 went to like 4 or 5%, only because Hank withdrew after he made the cut. If he plays all weekend, totally different change of events on this weekend. So it's interesting to dissect. It's still a, in my opinion, somewhat in its infancy stage when we talk about PGA DFS. We've come a long way since I started, 6 years ago, 2015, 2016. Definitely moved up the eyes of, I see more podcasts out there, even big screen podcasts. I see more articles, more, you know, just so much more coverage of golf than ever before. So it's good for us. We want to grow the game, but it definitely has made it difficult or more difficult to, you know, differentiate yourself from the field, but we'll do our best. I think this week's a good week to do it. You know, only so many different ways you can go, how to get different from the field. That's a big deal this week. So we'll get right into it. We're over in Tokyo, obviously. Tom Fazio redesigned this course in 2014. Par 71, 3 par 5s, including a 630+ yard number 14. Looks like a beast of a hole. No elevation here. That doesn't really come into play. Bradley Clean, an architect expert, was interviewed by Golf Channel. His best comp to this course was Quail Hollow. Fleetwood's caddy, they were out there the other day. He said it has a Spyglass Hill vibe to it. Fazio says has a Northeastern Donald Ross type feel. PGA Tour ergonomist Dennis Ingram says, quote, a big, mainly wide open, in your face course of 7,600 yards with big, deep bunkers. There's only one water hazard that comes into play, and that's on number 18. There won't be any fans here, just like all the Olympic sports. There are no fans out on this decision they made. Kind of makes you think about Rory. You know, he's had struggled with the no fan deal. It could play a bit softer and longer with potential tropical storm Nepartek, I think that's how you say it, is coming into play. It's not like a hurricane over here, but a big storm that it doesn't look like it's going to hit directly, but some rain and stuff could make it play a bit softer and longer. Hadn't been much rain there in the last few weeks. It used to have 2 greens per hole at this course. Actually, it's 36 holes here. I think this is the east. One of them was used for cold weather, and one of the greens was used for hot weather. So that's how they could continue playing year round. Fazio was tasked with making it into 1 green during the redo for the Olympics in mind. Now it is 100% bent grass greens with Georgia fairways and Georgia grass everywhere. And, you know, we're familiar with Georgia. We talked about it at a few of the other courses. Of course, up in Owosso that I play, the Patriot that has it hosts a lot of the Memorial Day stuff. Tournaments and such for guys like, I know Ricky's been up there before, raised money for, you know, Wounded Warrior, stuff like that. That course has Georgia in it. And there's another one in Dallas I played. Man, Georgia is so nice to hit off of. It's so – it's kind of sticky at times, but, man, it's pure when you're hitting it off the fairway. In bent grass, we you know, plenty of bent grass greens around here. Pure greens, it sounds like they roll pure as heck. I don't know about speed, but I know they – it seems like they roll really, really well when you – all the things you look and research on. It's very hot there, just like probably where you are, where I am. It's over 100 today. That tropical storm may cool it off a little, but every day still looks 90, 95, approaching 100 at times. A little bit of rain today, and then maybe the last 2 days of the tournament over there, which would be like, I guess, Friday and Saturday, could have some rain mixed in there. It doesn't look like anything crazy, but something to keep an eye on. It is a no-cut event, so we're not worried about the cut. It's kind of like a WGC. 58 guys in the DraftKings pool. I know they announced who replaced Rom, but he's not in the field yet. The DraftKings field, that he may get added today. That one, and there was one more that I was looking at. There was a late swap, and it didn't have to do with – they've already got Reed in there, but there's 60 guys in the field in total, but there's only 58 that have DK prices. So those are the 58 we're looking at right now. If they add the other two, we'll certainly – touch on that as we update throughout the next 48 hours. I just take the feeling that it's going to play not super difficult, but not easy by any means. It could be like 11 to 13 under type winner. I kind of see a max 14, 15. So I think difficult just from the things, you know, it is, there are a lot of, although it's long, you know, even Fleetwood had mentioned that there's a lot of holes that you don't even have to use driver on. There's a, you know, that par five is a three shot hole, no matter weight, no matter how you do it. If you're not, I probably should have said this earlier, but obviously Bryson and Rom out because of COVID. Reed is in the field. He's already been priced 10-1. So, you know, even Bryson, the big bomber type mentality, I don't think anybody gets there on that par five. So it really gives you two par fives potential, you know, get there in two. It does sound like it'll play rather long. So I think some of the short hitters will have to play, you know, a three-shot hole on most of the par fives. But all in all, sounds like an overall golf game type, you know, tee to green. Obviously, if you want to look at putting on bent greens, iron games, you know, approach and around the green, bogey avoidance, opportunity side. But I'm really not focusing too much on stats because, I mean, we have 31 guys here outside of the top 100. Most of these guys are going to have very little to no stats except for the ones we know about. So, you know, in a week like this, when you have 58 guys and you're trying to, especially if you're MME and if you're doing a 50 lineups, 100 lineups, 150 lineups, something like that, this is all about strategy and putting the puzzle pieces together and just hoping you hit right on your pool, as opposed to who does the best here, who does the best there. Because there's so many factors we can't take into the travel, the accommodations there, the no fans, the awkwardness of that, the Olympic stuff, the, you know, we're not playing for money. So if I wake up day four or day three and I'm 12 back or something, where's the motivation factor? You know, all that kind of stuff that's so anecdotal we can't predict nor rely upon. I think setting yourself up with the correct player pool, correct contest selection, correct leverage in those contests are way more important than splitting hairs between, you know, who's better, Hovland or, you know, Casey, JT or Morikawa, Shoffley, Morikawa. I mean, you're splitting hairs there. You know, who knows? You know, Neiman or Answer. Splitting hairs again. You know, I don't think we can quantify who cares more about it. We have the, you know, narratives of Sungjae and Siwoo, who if they get top three, they avoid the 2-year mandatory military that they have to serve. Huge for them. That could be a negative because it could be a lot of pressure. You have the home guys with, you know, Matsuyama, you know, is the pressure of winning a medal at Japan. Plus he's dealt with COVID and everything, you know, didn't get to play in the Open. You know, Rikua, those guys, that's another added pressure. Again, how do we quantify that? Not sure we do, but we try to take all that in consideration. deep dive research and kind of my final rankings will take all that in. These, I looked at OWGR. I did a statistical dive. I looked at Eurostats. I looked at their tours that they play most on. How have they done? How's that correlate to the OWGR? What's the betting market say? What's their last four look like, whether it be European or Japan Tour or Asia Tour or PGA? Obviously, the PGA guys are going to garnish the most ownership and the most eyeballs. That's clear. And being different from there is where we'll have to, you know, do our best as we get through the week. Ranges this week, a pretty good amount in the 10K range. Six in the 10K range this week, which is high for what we've seen normally. Six in the 9K, 10 in the 8K, 12 in the 7K, and 24 in the 6K. And when you see 12 in the 9 and 10K, it makes the balance build a little tougher. I will get to some of those plays in a minute, but easily could fade all the 10K if you felt comfortable with it. I mean, that's something you could do this week, and no one would, you know, mock at you anyways. I don't know that there's that strong of players on a balance build that makes you feel any more comfortable than dropping down to a few of the – I like several of the 6K guys. So all these guys got here one way, shape, or form. It's just a matter of – there's going to be some risk-taking you have to do this week if you want to try to, you know, get some edge on the field. For me, I'm going to do like an Elite Eight version, being that we only have 58 guys. So talk about two in each range. I do have a potential fade, potential sleeper, some gut-filled plays, betting brought to you by Monkey Knife Fight. And then we'll kind of wrap it up from there. So not as long of a pod, more strategy thinking. Just want to get some of the knowledge and things that I researched last night out there. Maybe it helps you, maybe it doesn't, but I wanted to do something. 9K and above, there's 12 guys in this range. I'm going to start out with Hovland. I do think he'll probably be popular, especially based on price. But I just like his game in general. You know, great off the tee. Seems to score all the time. He was 12th at the Open. Not much I hate about his game at all. So at savings price of 9,900 compared to some of the 10K guys, I do think he'll garnish ownership. But again, there's only 58 guys. So all these guys are going to have some kind of ownership up there, you know, call it mid sevens and above. You know, they're just going to be peppered because people are going to be trying to make as many combos off of that. A lot of the 6K guys are, you know, people that don't even know or never heard of in golf. So you won't see a lot of those guys played. And trying to pick the one or two that may do well is hard in and of itself if you're not MMEing. So definitely want to find edges that we can have. I kind of wish Rahm and Bryson were here. I'll probably not play either. So could give us some leverage there. I like JT. I mean, when we hear, I think it was Bradley said it reminded him of Quail Hollow. You know, JT's got a good history there. 10-9. Listen, Morikawa is great. I'm not going to hide that. Beany just won the Open with an absolutely blistering putter. He's the highest priced. He'll be one of the highest owned, especially in your big public pools, because everybody knows his name after watching the Open. All deservingly so, but I would take a discounted price and potentially discounted ownership, JT, at a course where one architect says reminds him of Quail Hollow. I like JT at 12-9. So those are my two guys in the 9K and above range that kind of catch my eye out the gate. 8K range, we got 10 guys in this range this week. There were several I liked here, and I have a few down in my gut feel plays. The top two for me was Connors. I go back to ball striking. I just think 8,800. He's just playing so well, and his ball striking is there. We get him on some nice pure greens that could be advantageous for him. So I like Connors, and I like Peters. I've always liked Peters. I bet him a lot. You know, long off the tee. I especially like a no-cut event for Peters, who we know can score, kind of like Cam Davis, right? You know, we dealt with him, had him. I was overweight on him this week. That quad on 18 Saturday, I think, he kind of felt like that just did his tournament in. And he wakes up Sunday, and I knew I should have played him in showdown. I even wrote him up to play him in showdown. I didn't do it. He goes 7-under. Duke can score. Peters, I don't know if he's quite like that, but he definitely can score, and we don't have to worry about a miscut and all that kind of stuff. I think that helps him. So $8,100. I like Peters this week. He did well in 2016 as well for the Olympics. One note. So Reed, Mito, and Vegas are the three guys that flew. I don't know if they flew together in a charter or what they did. They had to fly from the 3M to Tokyo last night into this morning. So just note that. I'll talk about that with Reed here in a little bit. 7K range, there's 12 guys in this range. My first two that pop. Siwoo, yeah, there's a little bit of the narrative. But I get him at a $1,200 discount from Sungjae, who also is another narrative guy. I don't hate Sungjae, but I'm just, you know, as far as picking, narrowing this down to 8 was kind of difficult. But I don't think I'd give you 16. That's almost a third of the field and just a lot to digest, but especially with the gut feel plays and all that kind of stuff. But I like Siwoo this week, 7,800. Obviously, very important week for him. I think when he's focused and on it, and, you know, and here for a purpose, I like him. I think he'll do well. I do worry if he starts off bad or that medal gets out of sight. Does he care? One thing you don't want is a guy that withdraws in a no-cut event. You're pretty much dead. So there is some risk there with Siwoo, but I don't mind him. I think he'll be focused and ready to go. Mito at 7,200, been riding him, played him last week. The travel could concern, but that may keep his ownership down as well. So 7,200, you know, I don't mind playing him at all. I'll take my risk there. 6K range, Norlander. I don't know how popular he'll be or not. Obviously, people in our industry and kind of our bubble will know him. 6,800 bucks, 122 in the OWGR, 125-1 in the betting market. Don't really mind that either. I just like him in general. I was very limited on where I can go in the 6K range. He was the first one to kind of pop out to me. Next one was Straka, but I do think Straka may garner some ownership, especially in our bubble. Everybody knows his name. Good off the tee. Very cheap, 6,400. He makes things fit. May pick up ownership there. We'll kind of look at that in the next 24 to 30 hours. An update. Is he worth a fade? I don't know if – it really depends on what contest you're playing in, 1-3 max MME. For MME stuff, I don't know that, you know, ownership is the end-all be-all. I think more than anything, and we talk about this during some of the other WGCs and stuff, you know, setting that min-max at certain levels that automatically will – no matter how your build is, you'll keep yourself different than – 90%+ of the builds out there. It's kind of a key this week that I'll be utilizing. But I don't hate Straka at all. Fade of the week, I'm going to say Morikawa right now, just because I think he'll garner some most ownership. I'm not as high on Rory, but I don't think Rory's going to get a lot of ownership. He's talked about he's not very quote-unquote patriotic type guy. I think he wants to be there. He wouldn't be there. There's no reason for these guys, unless they truly want to try to win a gold. I don't think there's a reason to be there. Well documented how the no fan deal had struggled with him at the beginning of COVID, and we're right back there. It's going to be very quiet, no one around. You know, does that? But I don't think he's going to be that high owned. So I really think it was kind of down to Shoffley or Morikawa as a decently, you know, fade this week. And you know, I'll go with Morikawa for now. I think he's going to be talked up all over the place, whoever's actually doing pod stuff. And being the highest priced, I just always try, and this goes back to the top of the pod where it's kind of hurt me. If you're the highest price and highest, potentially one of the highest owned, I tend to try to be different there. So as of Monday morning, I'm going to go fade in Morikawa. Could change that by the time we get to Tuesday night or Wednesday morning before we lock. Sleeper of the week. While I don't think he's going to be under 5%, because I don't think any USA guy is going to be super low on, but I think one of the lowest up here, I think he will be the lowest owned, probably in the 9 and 10K range combined, but for sure the 10 will be Reed. I think it's warranted, right? He was at the Open, then flew to the 3M Open, not anticipating playing in the Olympics. Bryson has to withdraw. He finds out Saturday, hey, now you're going to charter over to Tokyo after you finish playing Sunday, and he had a little later tee time, so he finishes late. I don't know if he hopped on there or if he had to wait till like him, Vegas, and Mito were all going together. I don't know all those details, but regardless, Tokyo's already was 6-7 hours ahead of us, so they basically arrived, I would say, Tokyo time probably mid to late Monday afternoon, you know, because right now it's already nighttime in Tokyo. So they're going to get maybe a day, but I'm sure that he's going to try to get his sleep and stuff all back on track. So I would imagine not much seeing of the course, but I don't think that's going to hurt him. You know, these guys are professionals, and it helps for sure. You know, some of these guys getting to play a few rounds, but you know, if he gets out there and plays nine holes, or his caddy goes and looks at all 18 while he's catching up on rest, you know, I don't think it's the end of, especially if we're going to get discounted ownership on him because of all these narratives around, oh, he's going to be worn out and tired. And he's 10-1. Who wants to pay for that? Like, he could be tanked this. I don't know. I mean, Captain America, under the radar, nobody wants him. Yeah, maybe one of my best plays of the week this week. Just load up on him and hope he, you know, wins a medal, and he's super low owned compared to everybody else around him. Gut feel plays of the week for me. Neiman, 9,200. These are just basically guys I like that I couldn't fit in because we only had the Elite Eight. I certainly like Neiman, ball striking here. Sneaky long off the box. I just like everything about him. So priced well. I like Higo. I know Higo and Guido will probably be popular. I lean Higo over Guido here. $8,300. Rikua Hoshiano, I think is how you say it. $7,300. And you know, another Japan guy. I think I'll go there. I like him in general. We've watched him, you know, if he played at the Open, he's been in a few tournaments over at in the US at times, shown some flashes. 7,300 may keep some people off of him, especially with who's around him. So I don't mind him at all, especially, you know, trying to win one for his country on the home turf. Maybe a little more familiar with the course than others. We know Matsu is. He won a junior here back, I think, in 2010. I'm saving Matsu for last, just last topic in general. My last guy I like as a gut feel play is Munoz. I think just what I know of the course and seen, read, it's very limited, but I do think this could fit him. And he's playing pretty good little form coming in. Fourth at John Deere, made the cut at the RM. $7,700. I think he's got good upside for that price. And when he gets on and gets on with the putter, you know, he can be there right there on Sunday as well. So I like Munoz, $7,700. Betting top five that pop in two long shots provided by Monkey Knife Fight. Go to monkeyknifefight.com. Use the code GUPS, G-U-P-S. Get 100% match up to $50 deposit. All kinds of things going on for the Olympics over there. You can go to gupscorner.com/affiliates and click the link there as well. First that popped to me was Connors. Some of these lines have obviously have moved since Bryson and Rahm are out, but probably going to wait to see how they settle here this afternoon, and then I'll release my first card. I like Connors. I've seen him 28 to 33. I like Peters. He's around 50. I like Siwoo. He's around 50. I like Higo. He's around 40. I may put a bet in on Hovland or JT, seeing how the odds go. Or I may try to just do like a Quinella first, second place with like Holland, JT, Matsu type of deal, maybe Reed, those lower press guys. So I'm really deciding what I'm going to do up top before I lock in any of these bets. Cause if I do wind up going low, like a Hovland 14, 16 to one really shrinks up that betting card, but I'm not going to get super crazy there. I'm just going to pick the few guys I think that'll be out there and go with it this week. Long shots that I like, Munoz and Mito. Munoz is 100-1 and Mito is a 125-1. Obviously no one and done anywhere this week that I know of. We can't do a Wednesday afternoon E9. So what I'll probably do is see how much interest there is on Slack. Kind of gauge that by how quick the listener league is filling up. 200. I think we should have it full by tonight or tomorrow, but who knows? Maybe I do a Tuesday night that gives people time to wake up Wednesday morning. They can get up and get rolling. I'll kind of just see what you guys think on that. But I want to do a live show with the E9 if people are really going to get into it this week. If everybody's going to toss a bullet in or whatnot, that's fine too. I'll still have the premium content out. I'll probably do another pod for, you know, you guys, kind of a mix like I did last week. And maybe I do it tomorrow afternoon with any updates that I see in the next 24 to 30 hours as well. I'm excited for the week. Golf is good at any time. Olympics, you know, in general, I like watching a lot of the Olympics when we keep the politics out of it. Personally, I just like to watch the athletes, you know, that are the best in the world or what they do. That stuff's exciting to me. So I'm looking forward to the week. A little bit of a lighter week. I doubt I cover much showdown. I do have some stuff I'd already planned for this week with the family, and then I have an alumni deal this weekend. Again, I didn't think there'd be anything this week when you know the schedule came out 6-8 months ago or whatever it was. And this is literally the first no PGA week since the start of the year. But we're going to cover this for sure. I just may take, once we get this locked on Wednesday, I may take the rest of the week off other than working in the background on some of the football tools and stuff. So I'll keep you updated on that. Remember, Smash 20, 20% off any package right now. The Green Machine Optimizer, the GC Warrior Room over in Slack, those two things pay for any package you get right now in and of itself. Get a free 7-day trial. So, hey, you want to get some of this stuff that no one's really covering right now or not much covering, come check us out. It's free for 7 days. If you don't like it, cancel before the 7 days is up. You never get charged. No harm, no foul. Looking forward to the week. I appreciate all the support. Looking forward to football as well. It's going to be awesome. I think we will have our best coverage we've ever had. And our tools and optimizer for football is going to be amazing. Hope you guys have a blessed week, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.